The legend of Brad Stevens, point guard whisperer, is born when Jordan Crawford wins Player of the Week. We're going to talk about it right now on a Thursday, Locked On Celtics. Millie's, let's go. Raining J's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey, John Corrales here from MassLive.com, welcoming you back to another Locked On Celtics podcast. Still going on the grind Monday through Friday, and still going with the historical deep dives. Today, we get to Jordan Crawford winning Player of the Week, and oh man, is that not a glorious week? The best week of Jordan Crawford's career. In a few minutes, you'll hear the stats from that week. It was an amazing week. He totally deserved it. And it was the beginning of Brad Stevens becoming the point guard whisperer. For some reason, point guards have done well under Brad Stevens, and this is like the big bang of that. Before we get to that, the Boston Celtics have now traveled to Orlando. As I record this, they're just about ready to land in Orlando. So by the time you listen to this, the Celtics should be there and heading into their bubble. And it was interesting last night or the night before, by the time you listen to this, to watch people tweet out pictures of their food. And it looks like seriously like summer camp, like trays of stuff that professional basketball players aren't used to having. But I think what they're doing is the first few days are quarantine. You have to go in and get a test. And then 24 hours later, you got to get another test. So it's at least 48 hours with two negative tests back to back before you can leave your hotel room. You got to stay in your hotel room, can't leave. So that limits what can come in and out. So you can't have the big spreads. I don't know what they're going to have. Pretty sure what they're going to have is better than what they have right now. So everybody making their jokes, by all means, Twitter, get your jokes off. That's what Twitter does. But I think there's going to be like an uptick in the quality of food in just a matter of a few days. So that's just something to watch for. It struck me as the Celtics were leaving, some of the things were being shared on social media. First of all, Robin Hayward tweeting Instagramming the departure and her daughters kind of like talking to a doll, pretending it was Gordon Hayward already. Boy, that stuff was really crushing. Watching Jason Tatum hug Deuce, that Instagram photo, just, oh my God, just melted me, because I'm in the Kemba Walker vein where single, no kids. If I had to go somewhere for 3 months, I would just go. And I'm not saying goodbye to kids. I'm not leaving much behind. You know, that's just for me. Yeah, sure, no problem. So when Kemba said, yeah, I don't mind it. I'm ready to go in the bubble. No big deal. I felt that. But watching Tatum and Hayward and knowing that there are countless others who are missing their families, saying goodbye to their families, and not just kids, you know, saying goodbye to parents, saying goodbye to grandparents, saying goodbye to, you know, Jaylen Brown, the picture of his grandfather up there. His grandfather helped kind of keep him in shape, get him into better shape during this pandemic. I really was struck by how tough it really is for them to say goodbye for potentially at least a month and a half, some for 3 months. It's difficult. And I really couldn't wrap my head around it because I don't have kids. So watching them say goodbye to their families, it was like a little jarring. You really start to get that feeling of, yeah, this is something that I can see is tough for them. They made their decision. They're going to play, and it's not something that, like, in the end, it's going to be okay. It's only a few months, and it'll, before you know it, it'll be over. But in this moment, this is something that's difficult. So, and it does speak to when Brad Stevens said, the team that can find their joy, the team that can find their grit, the team that comes together, stays together, and finds a way to make the best of this over the course of whether it's a month and a half or 3 months, that's the team that's going to be finding themselves in a position to succeed. And you see it. This is what he's talking about. These goodbyes to their kids. It's very easy now, especially after spending 3 months at home with them. Like, that's something you go from an unprecedented time together, because you never get 3 months at home like this. Even during the off season, Gordon Hayward's able to go train and do things and live like a normal life. This was just stuck at home for 3 months. Now to go from that to gone and not even around for 3 months, that makes it all a bit worse. The team that can get past that and not have that constantly on their minds, not have that be something that brings them down. The team that can get past these types of things and find themselves together and find some, as Brad Stevens said, joy in being together, making the most of a bad situation, then that's the team that's going to have a real shot. But that did strike me, and it really did hit home for how tough this was. When we come back, the beginnings of the Jordan Crawford, the brief, white-hot Jordan Crawford experience when we return on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And before we do that, I am not usually a cereal guy. I gave up eating cereal a while ago because I'm not going to be eating sugary stuff. I'm not going to be eating all the stuff that I used to eat because I'm trying to be healthy. Look, I'm getting older, so I don't know how old you are, but I'm about to turn 47. I'm not supposed to be eating sugary cereal. And the type of cereal that's marketed to me, I'm sorry, I don't want to eat your tree bark, buddy. So that's, I just cut cereal out. But when they sent me Magic Spoon cereal, I start to work that back in, because Magic Spoon is this ridiculously delicious, sweet, sugar-free cereal. Like, no sugar, zero sugar. 12 grams of protein. That's good. And only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. They gave me cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. Those are your 4 options. They're all good. I'm going with the frosted. Frosted tastes really, really good. I don't know. You got to try it. In fact, you can go ahead and try it for basically no risk. It's keto friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, GMO-free. There's no reason not to try it. Go to magicspoon.com/NBA. magicspoon.com/NBA. Get that variety pack. Try it today. Use the promo code NBA at checkout to get free shipping, so your shipping's free. They're so confident in their product, it's backed with 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it, the cereal's free. You'll get a refund, no questions asked. I'm betting you don't need that refund. magicspoon.com/NBA. Use the code NBA for free shipping.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Now, we just talked about the legend of Brad Stevens out of timeouts. Getting Jordan Crawford to win Player of the Week, which he did in December of 2013. The Celtics had wins over Milwaukee, Denver, and New York, and he averaged 23.3 while shooting 61%. And he also, that week, had averaged almost 7 assists, 3 rebounds, and shot better than 50% from 3 that week. I mean, wow.
He earned the award.
He definitely earned
it. He deserved that. He deserved it. He was a trick-or-treat player. He could shoot you in or shoot you out. And when he got hot, which he was that week, wow. You know, it just seemed like every shot was going to go in. And Brad did get some deserved credit for being able to get that out of Jordan Crawford, who was what you would call a journeyman, right?
I would say so.
He played for 5 different teams.
Yeah, 3 seasons in Washington, 2 in Boston, 1 in Golden State, a couple in New Orleans, 1 in Atlanta. So, yeah, he bounced around all over the place. Obviously, the player of the week was the highlight of his time. Although, I mean, he did have his moments. He did have his moments in Washington, I think, which is what earned his interest from Danny Ainge. But Jordan Crawford, I always used to call him shaky. He looked like a guy that was always like a couple of carafes of coffee into his day. Like he looked like both stoned and jittery at the same time. It was amazing. But he played as if his limbs had independent brains from the rest of his body. Things just didn't seem to move in concert with one another, but yet he still found a way to be effective from time to time.
He had that rainbow shot, a high arcing shot, and it would just come down and swish through. So I enjoyed watching him, no doubt about that.
When it did come down and swish through.
Yeah, I mean, when it came down.
He did shoot just 41% and 32% from 3. He wasn't exactly what we would call efficient with the Boston Celtics. In fact, the player of the week honor is credited, and Brad Stevens is credited for getting some value for Jordan Crawford, because Jordan Crawford was traded by Danny Ainge 39 games into his Celtics career, half a season into his career. Jordan Crawford was sent out. Let's see, it was January 15th. Marshawn Brooks, Jordan Crawford out to Golden State. The Celtics ended up getting Joel Anthony and a second round pick, which ultimately became Jordan Mickey, which is another great name from Boston Celtics history, but that's for another time. That's another G League maniac, Jordan Mickey, right? Wasn't he awesome?
Oh, yeah. Awesome in the G League. Yep. Too bad it was the G League, but, yeah.
But the Celtics got something for Jordan Crawford.
It was all part of shuffling the bodies. You already said it. I think 19 players coming in or being on the roster at different points during the season. You don't want that, but this is how it was. Danny was trying to move parts around, get pieces, hoard the famous assets that he had, and you got to do trades to get that done. And these like marginal trades, there were a lot of them.
Yeah, there were a lot. There were a lot of little little moves. Danny Ainge. This is when the Danny Ainge basketball reference page, a transaction page, really, really starts flying, because he's got all sorts of things going on here. All right, so the Celtics also traded away. They had Courtney Lee on this team for a while. I gotta sort everybody by how many games they played. We haven't even really talked about Jeff Green. Let's talk about Jeff Green. Jeff Green this season, because the only thing we've mentioned from Jeff Green is that he hit that game winner, but he played all 82 games, and this was after the heart ailment. So he came back and he played that whole season. He averaged 17 points a game, but he only shot like 41% overall, 34% from 3, which wasn't bad, right about league average, I guess. But that was it. And my biggest complaint with Jeff Green was always like, why are you only getting to the line four times a game? Why aren't you getting to the line like seven, eight times a game? That was for a guy who drove and dunked as much as he did. He didn't get to the line much.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about this, that he was inconsistent, and that was his biggest flaw. He definitely had the talent. He could score 40 if he got hot. And if he kept going to the basket, but he didn't do it every night. That was the disappointment with him. He was a fifth pick in the draft, and you expected that he would, even if he's not an all-star, at least be a consistent contributor. And that was his downfall. He was not consistent.
Yeah, that really ultimately, because so much promise. And he would have some decent games throughout the course of this season. His season high, like a couple of games where he scored 39, and he scored 30 points four times that season, scored 25 or more 13 times that season. He certainly was capable, but then he had what? Let's see, 13 games where he scored less than 10 points, only single digits. And in most of those games, he shot more than 10 shots per game. He just was cold. And so the Jeff Green madness would consume us in Boston. I just knew this about Jeff Green. Every time he got an outlet pass on the right side of the floor and was dribbling somewhere along that right sideline, he was dunking on somebody. He had no left hand. You could not, if just force him left and he was just give it up. He had no left hand at all. But if he was driving right, you were screwed. And if nothing else, he gave us plenty of highlight dunks. Always on that right side. If he got the ball right around half court on that right side, I was like, oh, baby, here we go. Full head of steam. He was going to dunk on somebody.
You know, you mentioned his shooting percentage being fairly low, 41%. And, you know, as a team, the entire team, 43.5% for the year. I wonder if Rondo's absence had something to do with that. You know, he missed the first half of the season almost while he was still recovering from the ACL the year before. You mentioned that. Then when he came back, he would sit out on the second night of a back-to-back. So, you know, without him out there, I don't think probably players were getting the shots they wanted as much as they might have if he was playing. I wonder if that contributed to the I don't have any statistical analysis of that, but I just wonder if that contributed to the lower shooting percentage than they might have had otherwise.
Well, so. I mean, I can do a quick search right now because he came back in January. So the team shooting percentage, let's see. Where is the team shooting percentage? Of course, I can't find it on these splits.
While you're looking, and we're talking about Rondo, this was the year that he had his birthday party.
Yep. Oh, right.
Right.
The trampoline park. But he fell in the shower, right?
No, wait, that was later.
Was that the next season? That was the next season.
Yeah.
That's the season he got traded.
I take it back. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay, because that's something we're going to have to talk about. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I'll say this. I don't have the percentages in front of me, but they shot 35 for 86 in January per game. In February, they got to 38 for 87. So that percentage goes up a little bit. And then in March, it was about 36 for 84 and a half. So that percentage goes up a little bit. The percentage does go up in January, February, March, but I don't think it goes up so much. So Rondo probably gives them a little bit of a bump, but also they're not very good basketball players. So
I was trying to give Jeff Green some sympathy there.
Yeah. I just don't think that getting the ball in a, like, what's Jeff Green's sweet spot to get him shots?
On the right.
Yeah, right. Well, on the right when he's driving, right? Avery Bradley was more of a catch and shoot 3-point shooter who he shot almost 40% from three that season, but he really wasn't a tremendous scorer necessarily, even though he averaged 15 points a game. But this is the beginning, I think, of Avery Bradley as a guy who can start to, you can start to look to at least score some points for you. The Celtics didn't get much from him in the prior 3 years. This is the first season of Avery Bradley, like, okay, he's coming into his own. His jump shot's starting to fall. He's becoming a really good defender. But even then, Rondo or not, it doesn't matter where he catches the ball. Just go down the line. I'm just looking down the list in order of scoring average per that season. Jordan Crawford, Jared Sullinger, Brandon Bass, Jared Bayless, Chris Humphreys, Kelly Olynyk. Like those, it doesn't matter where those guys get the ball. Maybe that gives a couple of them an extra make per game, and that'll account for a little jump in the percentages, like I said. But otherwise, you're not really making any material changes. This team sucked.
Okay. They sucked regardless.
I'm sorry.
I acknowledge that. I accept that. But, while you were talking, though, I found my note that about Rondo. Rondo, this was the season where Rondo did not travel with the team. They played at the Lakers. They lost. And then they left to go to Sacramento, and he stayed behind so he could celebrate his birthday. Because it was a back-to-back, and he knew he was going to sit out that game in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
So he stayed behind in L.A., had a birthday party, and there was a lot of crap came down the pike for that. And, you know, Rondo was he had already become a polarizing player. You know, among the fans and media, you were either Team Rondo or you weren't, and this didn't help. Not at all.
Right. Now you mentioned that. That's right. And there was some controversy about, did he have clearance from Brad Stevens or not?
Yeah. You know, I don't remember if Brad would have said, oh yeah, everything was fine. And you know, if there's any problem, we'll take care of it. He never would have thrown him under the bus, but I kind of think that Rondo just did what Rondo wanted to do.
Yeah. So here's the quote from Brad. Well, first of all, the quote from Rondo, when he was asked about it, said, "It's my business, not yours." So
that's, yeah.
Yeah. And then Brad Stevens was asked about it, and he said, "All of that we're handling internally. We've sat down and talked. We did that Monday. In my mind, I'm moving forward. When Danny gets back in town, they can meet, and we'll go from there." So clearly there was some, we'll call it a miscommunication. And I think at the time, like my recollection of at that time was if Rondo talked to somebody on the Celtics, if Rondo said, "Hey, is this cool?" And they said, "Okay, it's cool," then fine. Now in retrospect, cool or not, like, I think it was a sign of Rondo's kind of attitude towards everything. And remember, Rajon Rondo was named captain of the team when he came back. And this is, I think, an important point to make in all of this, that this all happened with the captain of the team. And Brad Stevens has not named the captain since and has said since then, he does not believe in captains. He believes everybody has a voice, even though at the time when he gave Rondo that title, he said that this is something that Rondo earned. He played his way into it. This is something that he basically named himself captain with his play. That was what Brad Stevens said. Which really makes it interesting using that and thinking about that and how that all worked out. I wonder if Brad Stevens now, because everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people are saying Marcus Smart should be captain. And I understand that. And I understand Brad's reasoning. But I wonder if all of this, the birthday party, Rondo's kind of like decline and everything that went wrong, I wonder if Brad Stevens says, look, I don't want any of this to happen again. And especially when you look at Marcus Smart, Marcus Smart's not Rondo. And I'm certainly not going to say that he's got the Rondo temperament, but he is an emotional guy and prone to emotional outbursts. So I wonder if this experience with Rondo has colored how Brad looks at captains in the NBA moving forward.
Well, I suppose that's possible, but I hope not. Yeah, it's a hard one, but I have a feeling since Rondo, it wasn't clear did he get permission or not. Maybe he indicated he wanted to skip the game, and he was told, and I'm speculating, maybe he was told, you know, it would not be a good idea for the captain of the team to skip a game even though you're not playing. Do the right thing. And he just did what he wanted to anyway. So who knows, really? But
no.
The whole thing, it was a major part of the story that developed that Rondo was an attitude problem and was disruptive to the team. And that, I think, contributed to him going out of town eventually.
I think that's true. I think that's true. I mean, I didn't realize how many birthday party things and Rondo was involved in. I mean, there were a couple of different birthday stories. The trampoline park, which is next. But this. Yeah, and look, Rondo, part of, back to the basketball stuff, part of why this team wasn't so good was because Rondo not only missed half the season and guys weren't getting shots in places where they could make baskets, but also Rondo came back and was coming back off of an ACL injury. And he had one of the tougher seasons of his career, and his all-star form. He was a four-time all-star prior to this season. And him coming back off of that injury, I think it did really, really hurt the team, because if you look at his numbers prior to that injury, his field goal percentage, overall field goal percentage, even though he was shooting terribly from three, his overall field goal percentage was still, a couple years it was up over 50%. It was kind of close after that. The year before it was 48.5%. And if you look at his 2-point field goal percentage, it's always pretty high. This season, his 2-point field goal percentage dropped from 51.3% the year before to 44.2%. And Rondo was effective driving and finishing for his entire career prior to the ACL injury, and defending prior to the ACL injury. And part of his passing ability was being able to drive, draw people in, and make those plays. What are the two of the greatest passes that he's ever made that I've ever seen? Are both passes to Ray Allen. One in Golden State, where he goes in and spins and fires it on the money behind the back to Ray in the left corner. And then there was another one, I forget who they're playing against, but it was at home. And he almost lands as he's driving in the lane. He draws a bunch of people in, and he flips a behind-the-back pass behind his head to Ray Allen on the right sideline. Both of those plays were because he got into the teeth of the defense, drew people in, and kicked it out. And he was very, very effective at that. Part of Rondo's downfall after the ACL injury is his inability to get in and finish around the rim, and therefore his inability to really draw up defenders and then not really finding people off of that.
We will wrap up our discussion of this season tomorrow, because there's not much else to talk about with this season. There are other seasons where we spent the entire 5 days talking about it because there was so much. This season, not so much. Not so much. You know, Jeff Green, buzzer beater. Jordan Crawford wins player of the week. Rondo comes back from his injury. And that's about it. That's about it. There are a couple of things that we will kind of focus on. Positive things. Avery Bradley, I thought, was a positive that season. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow, me and Mike Dinan. Thanks to Mike for hopping on, by the way. If you haven't, if you're just joining us in this process, we started from 1950. Like, we started back at the beginnings, the first days of the Celtics, the formation of the Celtics, the first days of the NBA. We have spent this entire hiatus talking about Celtics history. So if you want the entire Celtics history, go back to that first podcast and just load them up, because we went through every season. So we're wrapping up 13-14. Tomorrow, we'll get to the 14-15 season. Pretty soon, we're going to get to the Isaiah Thomas season. That's going to be fun. So subscribe if you have not. It's really easy to do that. You can also follow on Spotify. If you're a Spotify user, go ahead and follow there. You can also rate 5 stars if you are a subscriber. You can go and give that 5-star rating. Very helpful. A good written review would be amazing. I would love you forever. I'd give you a big hug if it wasn't socially awkward or unacceptable. But I would. I'd want to. I'll give you a virtual hug if you do that. And thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.